Parshas Shelach. The Yidden have already been traveling in the Midbar, in the desert, for many months. Yes, they have left Mitzrayim on Pesach more than a year before. They have also already received the Torah from Hashem at Har Sinai. And now, on the 29th day of Sivan, they are finally ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, the very special and holy land which Hashem has promised to give to the Yidden. The Yidden were now in a place in the Midbar which is called Kadesh Barnea. This was right near Eretz Yisrael. There was only one mountain between Kadesh Barnea and Eretz Yisrael. So all there was left for the Yidden to do was to go over that mountain, and there they'll enter the very special land, Eretz Yisrael. Now, Kindalach, the Yidden have seen all along, since they have left Mitzrayim until now, how Hashem has taken such good care of them. Hashem has made for them so many miracles. They remembered very well how Hashem has protected them from the Makos in Mitzrayim, how Hashem took them all out of Mitzrayim, how Hashem split the Yamsuf for them and got rid of the Mitzrayim forever. They also knew how much Hashem loves them by seeing all the good things Hashem gave them, the Torah, the mitzvahs. Hashem gave them the delicious man to eat every day. Hashem gave them the special delicious water from the well of Miriam. They also realized that they had Hashem's special clouds, the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory which protected them. And the Aron Kodesh, which traveled in front of them to prepare the way for them and show them where to go. But, Kindalach, when the Yidden heard that they were just about to enter the land, a thought entered their mind. How will we be able to get rid of all the Goyishan nations that are now living in the land of Canaan? Yes, Kindalach, instead of having bitachin in Hashem and trusting that just as Hashem has protected them and did so many miracles for them until now, Hashem will surely continue to do so and will surely bring them into the land without any problem. Yet, they made a mistake. They thought that they will have to have a big war with the Goyishan nations that are now living there. And for this, they got very worried. First of all, they were not sure that Eretz Yisrael is really that good and so special that it is worth fighting for. And second, even if it is worth it, who knows if we'll be able to win over the big, large armies of the Goyim? So Kindalach, what did the Yidden do? They decided to go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hoshea bin Nun, Moshe's student, was sitting in the shadow near Moshe's tent. He was always ready to jump up onto his feet to serve Moshe, his master, at his command. Moshe was sitting in his tent learning Torah. Yes, he was reviewing the mitzvahs that Hashem has told him. Afterwards, Moshe would teach the mitzvahs to his brother Aaron, then to Aaron's sons, then to the 70 elders, and finally to all the Yidden. Hoshea bin Nun was just sitting near the door and listening to every word which left Moshe's mouth. Hoshea was so busy paying attention to Moshe's teaching that he didn't even realize how a large crowd of Yidden, men and children, began gathering near Moshe's tent. The crowd was getting bigger and bigger. On the side, there were women and girls too. When Hoshea looked up, guess what he saw? That's right. He saw a tremendous crowd of Yidden, all standing close to Moshe's tent. At first, Hoshea was shocked from seeing the crowd. He wondered whether these people were not from the Erev Rav, those goyim who came along with the Yidden out of Mitzrayim and said that they want to become Yidden, but really made a lot of trouble for the Yidden, as we've seen before in the other parashias. I hope they're not here to make some more trouble, thought Hoshea. But then he noticed on their faces that they did not look angry. He realized that they have most probably come for something else. Some of the people walked over to Hoshea and said, "We want to speak with Moshe Rabbeinu." It was at this moment that Hoshea heard the voice of his master Moshe calling him. Hoshea stepped into Moshe's tent. Moshe said to him, "Tell them that I'm soon coming out." Hoshea gave over the message to all the Yidden standing outside, and they waited. And there Moshe came out to them. "What is it that you want?" asked Moshe. The Nesiim, the leaders of the 12 Shvatim, came over to Moshe and said, "We are now just about ready to enter the land of Canaan, which Hashem had promised to give to our avos. Let us send miraglim, spies, before us, so that they check out the land." Moshe said to them, "Children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Hashem has already told us that the land flows with milk and honey. Have you lost your betachin in Hashem, chas v'shalom?" "No, God forbid. We do believe and trust in Hashem, but we want to send spies because it would make it much easier for us to take over the land. They will do many important things. You see, Hashem has promised to bring us to a land which has all precious and good things. But before we come there, the Goyishan nations, the Canaanim, will surely hide away all their precious treasures, so we'll never find them. But if we send spies, they'll find out for us where all their secret hiding places are. Also, the spies will find out how we should make this war. Which cities should we attack first? And so on. The spies will also be able to find out which language they speak, so that we shall be able to find out all their secrets and plans during the war." Yes, Kindalach, the Yidden made a big mistake by wanting to send spies to Eretz Yisrael instead of just having emunah and bitachin, faith and trust in Hashem. If they would not have sent any spies, then they would have entered Eretz Yisrael without any fights or wars. They wouldn't even have needed any ammunition. But Kindalach, they didn't have enough bitachin and therefore wanted to send spies. But I want you to know that there were many tzaddikim among the Yidden that did not have anything to do with this whole idea of sending spies. They were Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi. That's right. Just like Shevet Levi had nothing to do with the slave work for Paroi in Mitzrayim, they had nothing to do with the making of the golden calf, the Egel, so too, now, Shevet Levi stayed away from those who wanted to send spies. Now, Kindalach, when Moshe was asked by the Yidden about sending spies, he thought for a while, and then said, "I never do anything before asking Hashem. If Hashem permits, then I'll agree to your plan to send spies." Wait here till I hear Hashem's word. Moshe went back into his tent. Moshe asked Hashem if it is all right to send spies, and Hashem answered, Shlach lecha anashim. Send spies for yourself. If you want it, I will not stop you. You may send the spies for yourself, but not for me. I have nothing to do with it. You see, Kindalach, Hashem saw that the spies are later going to become bad and speak Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, that the Yidden shouldn't go into the land. That is why Hashem said that he does not want to have anything to do with it. After a few minutes passed by, the Yidden saw Moshe coming out of his tent, his face shining with a godly light. Moshe then told the Yidden that Hashem agreed and allows them to send spies. Moshe then said, I myself will choose one man of each shevet. Whomever I call should step forward. They will be the spies. Moshe Rabbeinu began announcing, From Shevet Reuven, Shamua ben Zakur. From Shevet Shimon, Shafet ben Chairi. From Shevet Yehuda, Kalev ben Yefune. Yes, Kindalach. Moshe went on, calling out the name of one man of each Shevet to be the spies to go to Eretz Yisrael. Altogether, there were 12 spies, including Moshe's own student Hoshea, to be the one of Shevet Ephraim. But Kindalach, there was one Shevet of which Moshe did not choose anyone. Do you know which one? That's right, Shevet Levi. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. Now, Kindalach, you may ask a question. Since Moshe saw that Hashem did not like the idea of sending spies, so why did Moshe go on with the idea instead of trying to talk the Yidden out of it? Well, Rashi answers this question with a parable. A man was once looking to buy for himself a good donkey. When he came to the marketplace, he met a man who had a donkey for sale. He said to him, Hey, would you like to sell me your donkey? Yes. Can I take it to try it out? To see if it is good and strong? Yes. Can I even try it out on a very high mountain? Yes, you can go and try it out. As soon as he saw that the man was so ready to let him try it out, even on high mountains, he agreed to buy the donkey right away without even trying it out. Yes, he was sure that if the seller was ready to let him try it out anywhere, it must be that it's a good and strong donkey, and he can buy it right away without even trying it out. The same thing, Kindalach, was with Moshe. Moshe hoped that when the Yidden see that he agrees and lets them send spies, and he's not holding them back at all, they will change their mind and not send the spies after all. But, Kindalach, it did not happen that way. The Yidden still wanted to send their spies, and they were now very happy to know that Hashem allows them to do so, especially such special men whom Moshe himself chose with Ruach HaKodesh. That's right, Hashem let Moshe know which man of each Shevet should be chosen to be the 12 spies to go to Eretz Yisrael. Before the spies left, Hoshea went into Moshe's tent to ask him for a bracha for a safe trip. Hosea noticed a very serious look on Moshe's face, as if he was a little bit worried about the trip of the spies. Moshe placed his holy hands on Hosea's head and gave him a bracha. Moshe said, "From now on, let your name be Yehoshua." That is, Moshe added the letter Yud to his name, meaning Hashem should help. As Moshe prayed to Hashem, "Yud Kei Yoshiacha, Hashem should save you from any dangers you may have during this trip." Yes, Kindalach, Moshe saw with Ruach HaKodesh that in the end, the spies are going to speak Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, and they will not want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe also knew that his student Yehoshua is going to be the next leader of the Yidden to take them into Eretz Yisrael. That is why he said a special tefillah, a special prayer for Yehoshua. When the spies were just about to leave, Moshe gave them special instructions how they should travel through the land. Moshe himself has never seen Eretz Yisrael, but he knew for sure that it is as Hashem has promised, Eretz Zavas Cholov Udevash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moshe also knew how good and delicious are the fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael. They are better than any other fruits in the whole wide world. Moshe knew that even in the Negev, in the south of Eretz Yisrael, which doesn't have such good and juicy fruit as in the other parts of Eretz Yisrael, is still much better than any other fruits of any other land. As the Torah says, its fruits were 7 times better than the best fruits that grew in the best part of Mitzrayim. And if this is so, with the fruits of the Negev, you can just imagine, Kindalach, how much more special, big, and juicy were the fruits of the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe instructed the spies, "First go to the Negev, and then make your way up toward the north, through the whole land, and see how special the land is, and you'll see the delicious fruits, and so on." Yes, Moshe wanted the spies to really appreciate the goodness of the land. That's why he told them to first see the Negev, and then from there, they will see, as they continue traveling through the land, how it's getting better and better. This will surely make them bring back a good and happy report that will make all the Yidden so happy and excited to take over the land. Moshe also told them to cut down some medium-sized fruit, so that the Yidden will be able to see with their own eyes how special the land is. Now, Kindalach, since Moshe knew that the Yidden are going to chase the Goyim out of the land, he wanted to make sure that the Goyim had no special schus, no merit to protect them. That's why Moshe also told them to find out about the tzaddik Iyov, who was then living in the land, to find out whether he was still alive, since a tzaddik has the power to protect a whole nation. Moshe taught the spies the secret of the 12-letter name of Hashem, which they might have to use for protection in case they are in danger. It was on the 29th day of Sivan when the spies left to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Kindalach, as soon as they left, something very bad happened. You see, even though they started out as tzaddikim, but as soon as they left, they immediately began making plans to stop the Yidden from going into Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't they want the Yidden to go into Eretz Yisrael? Well, the spies knew very well that as long as they were traveling in the Midbar, they would be able to spend their entire time in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. Yes, they didn't have any kind of work to do. They had all the things they needed. For food, they had the man. They had the Be'er Shel Miriam, the big rock, which gave them delicious water. Their clothes were washed and pressed every day by the special clouds, the Anani HaKavod. They didn't have to do any business with anyone. They were protected by Hashem, and no one in the world was able to disturb them from learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. But once they will go into Eretz Yisrael, they will no longer be able to spend so much time learning Torah as before. Why? Because they will not get any more man from heaven for food. Yes, they would have to start working to get their own food. They'll have to work on the ground, plowing, sowing, planting, and so on. That is why they didn't like the idea of the Yidden leaving the Midbar and going into Eretz Yisrael. They wanted rather to stay and continue living in the Midbar. And here, Kindelach, is where all the trouble began. You see, Hashem gave us the Torah and the mitzvahs in this world in order that we use all of the things in this world for Hashem. That is, by using all the permissible things of this world for the learning of the Torah and the doing of the mitzvahs. By doing this, we make this world with all the things that are in it holier and bring it closer to Hashem. But this cannot be done if we lock ourselves away from the world, as the Yidden were in the Midbar. That's why it was so important that the Yidden do enter the land of Kna'an, a land where so many Goyim lived, and make it into Eretz Yisrael, a land filled with holiness of Torah and mitzvahs. But, Kindelach, that's not what the spies had in mind. They wanted that the Yidden should remain in the Midbar, on and on. And so, Kindelach, they immediately got to work in making their plans to convince the Yidden not to go to Eretz Yisrael, but rather stay in the Midbar. But I want you to know, Kindelach, that two men of the 12 spies did not agree to these bad plans. They were Yehoshua and Kalev. That's right, Yehoshua and Kalev did not want to have anything to do with such bad plans of the other 10 spies, as we'll soon see what they did. The spies entered Eretz Yisrael from the Negev, the south, and from there they made their way through the whole land. Now, Kindelach, we can very well understand how dangerous it would be for them if any of the Goyim noticed them spying and checking out the land for making a war. They could have been put to death, chas v'shalom, by the Goyim for doing such a thing. So Hashem made a miracle for them. Hashem made that the rulers of every city of the land should die, so that the Goyim would be so busy with burying them that they wouldn't notice and not pay any attention at all to the 12 spies of the Yidden that have just arrived in their land. And not only that, but Hashem also made that Eiv should die, for which everyone in the land is going to cry. And while they will be so busy with burying Eiv, no one will pay any attention at all to the 12 spies. Yes, Kindelach, Hashem did this all to make it easier for the spies to do their work. But, Kindelach, instead of realizing that this was a miracle from Hashem for their own good, the spies used this as part of their Lashon Hara report that they later brought to the Yidden. As we'll see later, they told the Yidden that it is a land where many, many people keep on dying, for in each and every city we went, we saw people busy burying their dead. And do you know, Kindalach? Hashem made another miracle for them, that even if a Knani Goy did notice the spies and wanted to tell everybody, these are Jewish spies, you know what Hashem did? Hashem made that the words were just not able to leave the guy's lips. Yes, he suddenly became mute as a stone and was not able to say a single word. When the spies came to the city of Chevron, they thought of going to the Me'oras HaMachpelah, where the Avos were buried, and to daven over there. But then they changed their mind. Why? Because they said that they heard about the big giants living around there. So they were afraid. But Kalev decided that he is anyhow going to go there, to the Me'oras HaMachpelah, to daven, even if it's dangerous. Why? Because Kalev thought to himself, Yehoshua is protected from the bad plans of the spies because Moshe davened for him. But I don't have that special protection from Moshe's tefillah. So let me go to the Me'oras HaMachpelah and daven to Hashem to protect me from the spies. So Kalev went to the Me'oras HaMachpelah. He went inside to daven. As he went in, the Shekhinah went in with him to let the Avos know that the time has come for the Yidden to enter the land. Kalev began davening and said, Avos HaOlam, fathers of the world, beg Hashem to have mercy on me, to be saved from the bad plans of the spies. Yes, Kindalach, as we're going to see later, Yehoshua and Kalev had nothing to do with their bad plans. Then Kindalach, the spies, traveled further in the land until they came to a place called Nachal Eshkol. The Torah named this place Nachal Eshkol, which means the Brook of the Vine. Because of the vine which the spies cut down over there, whose juice dripped down like a brook. When they came there, Kalev reminded them about Moshe's instructions to take some of the delicious fruits of Eretz Yisrael to show the Yidden, that they should see how special the land is. But Kindalach, the spies were not interested in showing the Yidden how special the land is, so they decided not to take any of the fruit. When Kalev saw that, he threatened them. If you are not going to listen to Moshe and take fruits, I will pull out my sword and we'll see who will kill whom. Now, everyone knew that Kalev, who was from Shevet Yehuda, was extremely strong. No one would ever start up with him. So the spies had no other choice but to listen to Moshe's instructions to cut down some fruit. But even then, they tried to do it in a bad way. You know what they did? They chose the biggest and most gigantic fruits of the land. They did this in order to tell the Yidden later that the land is a very strange land. They're going to say, here, you see how big and strange these fruits look? This shows you what kind of strange land it is. It's not a normal place for us to live. The spies picked a vine branch on which hung a tremendous bunch of grapes, which weighed so much that they needed 8 people to carry it. Our Chachamim tell us that it weighed 960 sa'ah. That is, over 2,000 gallons. Can you imagine how big that was? Well, so 8 of the spies carried the grapes. The ninth spy carried figs. And the tenth carried a pomegranate. Yehoshua and Kalev, who realized what the spies had in mind, decided not to take anything in order not to have anything to do with their plans. Now, Kindalach, there were three big giants who lived near Hebron. They were the sons of Arba, who was the biggest of all the giants. Their names were Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. And our Chachamim tell us why each one of these giants were given his name. Achiman was given his name because he used to say to his brothers, Achai, my brothers, Mon, who? Who can win over me? Yes, he was the mightiest of the brothers. And that's why he got the name Achiman. Sheshai is like the word Shayish, which means marble, since he was as strong as marble. Talmai is from the word Tlamim, which means grooves, since when he would walk, he would leave deep footprints in the ground. Now, while the spies were cutting down the fruit in Nachal Eshkol, they suddenly noticed that the three giants were quickly walking towards them. Yes, the giants noticed how the spies were cutting down the fruit. Now, you can imagine how the spies felt. The giants took big, gigantic steps toward the spies and began screaming so loud that the spies got so frightened that they immediately pronounced Hashem's 12-letter name, which Moshe gave them. But it didn't help them at all. When the giants came closer to them, they all fainted, except Yehoshua and Kalev, because of their emunah, their belief in Hashem. When the Knanim saw the spies lying on the floor, they took care of them and woke them up. The giants shouted at them, "We see that you have come here to cut down our trees which we worship and destroy our getchkes."
"No," answered the spy softly, "we just picked some fruit."
"Go away from here. Your God will soon bring you to this land, and then you will have time to chop down our trees."
And do you know what happened, Kindalach? The giants let the spies go without harming them. And as a reward for that, Hashem allowed some of the Knanim to remain in Eretz Yisrael until after the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And then, Kindalach, the spies continued on their traveling in the land until 40 days, during which they kept on planning as how to talk the Yidden out of coming to Eretz Yisrael. They prepared speeches to say to the Yidden, full of Lashon Hara, against Eretz Yisrael. After 40 days, they finished their traveling through the whole land and were ready to return to the Yidden. It really takes much, much longer to travel through the entire Eretz Yisrael, but Hashem made a miracle that it should take only 40 days. Why? Because, as we're going to see later, Hashem punished the Yidden for these 40 days with 40 years that the Yidden will have to stay in the Midbar. 1 year for each day. 40 years for the 40 days. And since Hashem has pity on the Yidden, He made the trip of the spies no more than 40 days
in order that their punishment should not be any longer than 40 years. It was on the 8th day of the month of when the spies returned from their journey in Eretz Yisrael. And you remember what they were carrying with them? That's right, the big gigantic bunch of grapes, the big big dates, and pomegranates. Before going to their own tents to say hello to their family, the spies went straight to the Beis HaMedrash, where Moshe, Aharon, and the Sanhedrin judges, with many other Yidden, were sitting and learning Torah. When Moshe saw the spies, he gathered all the Yidden together to listen to the report of the spies. Everyone gathered around in great suspense, waiting to hear, what do the spies have to say? The spies planned to begin their speech by telling the Yidden how good and special the land is, in order that the Yidden should want to listen to them and believe whatever they would say afterwards. And of course, Kindalach, Yehoshua and Kalev kept quiet and didn't have anything to do with the 10 spies who began their speech. The spies now began. The land truly flows with milk and honey. Here, you can see the delicious fruits which we have brought. Hearing these words and seeing the gigantic fruit, the Yidden became very, very happy and were waiting for the spies to continue their report. The spies continued, yes, the land is really a very special land. It truly flows with milk and honey. The trees have such sweet and juicy dates dripping with honey. The goats have so much milk that the extras flows to the ground. We actually saw brooks and streams of milk and honey. But this is all worth nothing. And do you know why? Because just as the fruits are so gigantic, so are the people who live there. Yes, they are giants. And there is absolutely no way that we shall be able to win over them and take over the land. The people are strong, and their cities are surrounded with big, gigantic walls. We'll never be able to get in. We can't even get close to them, because our enemies surround the land on all sides. Amalek is in the south. How can we forget Amalek when the Torah tells us to always remember what Amalek did to us? And if you think we can go over the mountains, the Chittim, Yevusim, and Amorim live there. We can also not go through the west side or the east, because the powerful Canaanim live there. They are so powerful that even one of their army men can chase 1,000 of our men, and 2 of the army men of the Canaanim can chase 10,000 of ours. The land is surrounded on all sides, and there is no way to get in. Kindalach, so far, the spies did not tell any real lies. Whatever they reported about the land was true. The enemies were truly very powerful. The cities were surrounded with big gigantic walls. It was also true that there were giants in the land. But there is one thing which the spies said which was very, very wrong. They said that we will not be able to take over the land because the enemies are so powerful. That's not true. We have Hashem on our side, and with Hashem, we can win over the most mighty and powerful armies in the world. Besides which, the spies were never asked to say their opinion whether they think it's possible or not to win over those nations. All they were asked to do was only to give a report about how is the land, how are the cities, the people, and so on. But they were not asked to say if they think that we can win over the nations or not. That is all in Hashem's hands. The spies had no right to say to the Yidden that they feel that the Yidden will not win over the enemies. No one is asking them what they feel. All that they were asked was to give a report what the land was like. Whether we'll win over or not, that's only up to Hashem. And if Hashem said we'll win, we surely will. But Kindalach, now that the spies did say these words, that they will not be able to win over the nations of the land, they got all the Yidden to be scared. Yes, the Yidden were now frightened. And a big tumult broke out among the Yidden. Some Yidden began blaming Moshe for taking them out of Mitzrayim. They started saying, Moshe ben Amram wants to bury us. Just then, Kalev got up and tried to calm down the people. Kalev tried doing this in a tricky way so that the people should want to listen to what he is saying. Kalev called out loud, Shash, Thiller! Shh! Everybody quiet! Has Ben Amram only done this thing to us? Let me tell you about another thing that he has done to us. When the spies heard the way Kalev was speaking, they thought that Kalev is on their side and will soon tell the Yidden many more bad things about Moshe. So they quieted down all the Yidden to listen to the words of Kalev. Shh! When it got quiet, Kalev began. My dear brothers, don't you know what Ben Amram did for us? Didn't he lead us out of Mitzrayim after we have been slaves there for 210 years? Didn't he split the Yamsu for us and led us through it on dry land? Didn't he give us the delicious man to eat and the tasty slav birds? Dear brothers, let's not lose our betachin. Hashem has shown us so many miracles in the past. He will surely not leave us alone now. We are not afraid of the giants. We are not afraid of the Knanim. Why should you be afraid to conquer the land if Moshe tells us to do so? Moshe has never misled us. The only way we'll ever succeed is by obeying Moshe all the way. Because whatever Moshe tells us is Hashem's will. So, let's continue to have trust in Moshe, and we'll surely succeed. When the Yidden heard Kalev's words, they calmed down and felt much better, with a stronger betachin in Hashem. But the spies, oh no, they were not at all interested in Kalev's words. Instead, they immediately answered back,
It is not as you say, Kalev. We cannot win over these people, for they are stronger than we are. When the giants walk towards us, we pronounced Hashem's 12-letter name for protection, but it didn't help us at all. It seems like that even Hashem himself cannot get rid of these people from the land.
In order to scare the Yidden even more so, the spies continued on telling them of more things that happened to them in the land.
Wherever we went in the land, we saw people dying. They were not dying of sickness, since they were all so strong. But they were dying only because the land is a very bad place for living. The climate, the air, and so on, is not a normal place to live.